And it was nearly Christmas, and Judge Judy was in a happy mood. She asked the defendant, "What are you being prosecuted for?" "Doing my Christmas shopping too early," replied the defendant. "That's not a crime," replied Judge Judy. "How early were you doing your Christmas shopping?" "Before the store opened," replied the defendant. So you don't want to do your Christmas shopping too early. And a little boy returned from Sunday school with a new perspective on the Christmas story. He had learned all about the wise men from the East who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. He was so excited, he could hardly wait to tell his parents. As soon as he arrived home, he immediately began, "I learned all about the very first Christmas in Sunday school today. There wasn't a Santa Claus way back then, so these skinny guys on camels had to deliver the toys. And Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer with his nose so bright wasn't there yet, so they had to have this big spotlight in the sky to find their way around." And then one more. You got time for one more? It was the day after Christmas at a church in San Francisco. Pastor Mike was looking at the nativity scene outside when he noticed the baby Jesus was missing from the figures. Immediately, Pastor Mike turned toward the church to call the police. But as he was about to do so, he saw little Jimmy with a red wagon. And in the wagon was the figure of the little infant Jesus. Pastor Mike walked up to Jimmy and said, "Well, Jimmy, where did you get that little infant?" Jimmy replied, "I got him from the church." "And why did you take him?" With a sheepish smile, Jimmy said, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed to the little Lord Jesus. I told him if he would bring me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block in it." So he was giving baby Jesus a ride around the block. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, or you can follow up on our screen, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And I want to read verse 6. Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So how many know that a long time ago, God came to earth as a man? And he had to come to this earth because man had messed up the earth. We had allowed sin to come into this world. And when sin came into this world, the Bible says death came and sickness came and things started to appear on the earth that weren't even here before. But God had a plan. You know, I had mentioned last week that if the FBI wanted to take down a mob crime family, they would put someone on the inside and they would take it down from within. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God came as a man so that he could destroy Satan's kingdom from within. Because Satan had come on this earth, because man allowed him to come on this earth. And Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is both human and he is both divine. All right, he has two natures, but he doesn't have dual personalities. You know, Jesus doesn't have a split personality. But he is the perfect combination. We needed someone to represent us with God because man had lost their fellowship with God. Fellowship was broken. And instead of walking with God, man then tried to hide from God. So that relationship needed to be restored. It needed to be repaired. And God knew that he was going to send his son. God knew that he was going to take on flesh, that he was going to become a man and walk on this earth. Why? Because God gave dominion to man on this earth. Say, I have dominion. Say, I have dominion over creeps.
I have dominion over creeps.
You know, the Bible says you have, man has dominion over everything that creepeth. Right? So you have dominion over creeps. It's okay to smile in church, all right? We're here to have a good time. And because you know what? We have an awesome God. And anyway, Jesus came. We know that. That's a fact. He split the calendar. You cannot deny that he came. But I want to talk about his two natures. First of all, his human nature. You know, God can relate to you. There's not one person on earth that has experienced something that Jesus cannot understand or he cannot relate. He was tempted in all points like we are. But the only difference is he did not sin. Now, if you're swimming in water, or let me put it this way. If you fall into water that's over your head and you can't swim, you're most likely not going to want someone else who can't swim to try and save you. Right? Because that would be terrible. Then you'd both drown. But we needed a Savior. Why? Because we could not save ourselves. If we could save ourselves, the situation in the world would be improving. But we know it's not, don't we? So let's talk about these two natures of Jesus. And I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus was born a natural infant in a manger in Bethlehem, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Just like any other baby that was born on this earth, Jesus was born the same way. All right? His birth. Now, his conception was a little different. All right? But his birth, you know, Mary carried him for 9 months. You know, Mary's belly grew. Right? Because a child was, she was carrying this child. And, you know, his birth came about like any other person that was born on this earth. All right? And if you go to verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus grew up in a normal manner, just like you and I grew up. Jesus, his body grew, his body matured, and he adapted, just like you are growing. Some of us are still growing. Some of us have reached our pinnacle. Amen? And then we grow in different ways. But Jesus grew up just like you and I grew up. He probably had friends that he hung out with. He learned a trade. He learned how to be a carpenter. And go down to verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and his favor with God and man. He grew up being subject to his parents, and the teenager said, it's not always fun to be subject to your parents, is it? You know, you got to do what your parents tell you to do, even if you don't like it. Eat your vegetables. Clean your room, right? But Jesus, guess what? He had to eat his vegetables. He had to clean his room. You know, he had to make sure that his Sunday robe was in good shape. What am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus was just like you. He's just like me. He was a human being. But yet he was different. He was human in every aspect, just like you and I are. But he was also divine. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 1:1. Jesus is listed in two genealogies, one of Joseph and one of Mary. In Matthew 1:1, it says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Was David an actual person? Was Abraham an actual person? And here the Bible tells us that Jesus was part of their genealogy. Was Jesus an actual person? Yes. You guys get an A+. 100%. Okay? And then in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And verse 23. And it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of, and it lists the genealogies. And I won't mention all the names, but you can see him there. He's listed in these genealogies that tie him to mankind, to the human race. Okay? So Jesus is human. He was called the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, and the son of David, which identifies him as a human being. Okay? And he was tempted in all points like we are, but yet he did not sin. In other words, the devil came along and tempted him to sin. He tempted him to do wrong. He had thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, just like you and I have thoughts and ideas and suggestions. Did you know that temptation begins with a thought, an idea, or a suggestion? And how we handle those things will determine what we do. If you begin to think on the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that come from Satan, long enough, you will then act those thoughts out. Those thoughts will become an action. Have you ever heard of the term premeditated murder? That tells me that someone who committed that crime had been thinking about that crime for a while. They were thinking about ways to do it, and all of a sudden, then their actions began to line up with how they thought. Okay? Now, Jesus, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary asked the angel, how are these things going to be? She didn't really understand how it was going to happen, But that doesn't mean that she doubted. And the angel said, you know, the power of God's going to come on you. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that which is conceived in you is holy. So he had a divine nature. Now, I found out something interesting. When a baby is conceived in the womb, the baby then begins to develop its own heartbeat. It begins to pump its own blood. And the placenta that protects the child, it doesn't allow the blood of the mother to mix with the blood of the child. Isn't that awesome how God designed that? Which means that tells me that God was the father of Jesus. Therefore, it was God's blood that began to develop. As his heart began to form, it was God's blood that was running through Jesus' veins. Amen? That kept his divinity. That kept his deity. Okay? He was divine in nature. And so, because of that nature, you know, he wasn't born into sin like you and I were. Because of Adam, all of us, we were born into sin. The Bible says we all have fallen short. Everybody say all. We all fell short of God's glory. But because of the gift of God, amen, the gift of God's grace, the gift outweighs the fall. Hallelujah for that. God's gift can make up the difference from our fall. So, Jesus, he even called himself a man. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 40. Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees. And he said, but now you seek to kill me, comma, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, he was saying, you know, Abraham actually believed in Jesus. And Abraham, he's the father of the Jewish race. And here Jesus called himself a man. He is called the Son of Man 70 times in the New Testament. So, are you identifying with Jesus? Isn't it awesome that we have a Savior that can actually identify with you? He knows what you're thinking. And he doesn't have a naughty or nice list. Because he doesn't need to, because he knows our motives. You know, there were times when Jesus would answer the thoughts of the Pharisees. They'd be thinking something. Now they didn't verbalize it, they didn't speak it out, but Jesus would answer their thoughts and they'd be like, how do you know that? Who told them that? You know, I've had countless people come up to me after a service and they said, man, that message was just for me. You were reading my mail, and I'm not even a mailman. But you know, God knows how to reach every person. There's not one person on this planet that God doesn't know where you are or how to get in touch with you. You could go to the highest mountain, you could go to the deepest valley, you could go to the darkest place, and God will be saying, what are you doing here? Because God is everywhere, all right? And you know what? It gets tiring when you're running from God. Because it's like being stuck in mud. You're running, you're exerting all that energy to run in the wrong direction, but you're not going anywhere. So you might as well just stop, get out, and let Jesus get you out of the mud. All right? Let Jesus get you unstuck. All right? Hallelujah. Are you here with me? All right. So Jesus called himself a man. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 5. It says this: "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." How many ways are there to get to God? There is one way. All right? God made it so easy that if you're not good in math, all you got to learn about is number one. There's one way. You don't have to try to, you know what? You can't be good enough to get into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't get into heaven because someone close to you is going to heaven. Everybody has to make their own choice as to whether or not you're going to go to heaven. God has given to every person on this earth a free will. And God doesn't force you to make the right choice. He said, "I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse." And now he gave you some insight. He said, "I would that you choose life." But you know what? So many people choose death. Hell was not originally meant for man. It was originally designed for the devil and the angels that rebelled with him in heaven. But because people are influenced by demonic spirits today, there are, you know, the devil is not someone with a red pitchfork and a sharp tail and pointy ears. You know, he's very subtle. He's sneaky. He's a liar. He's deceptive. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's all those things. And too many people in today's world allow themselves to be persuaded by him. And in essence, they buy the lie. And if someone rejects Jesus Christ, in other words, let's say a person was born on this earth and they grew up, you know, maybe they did good things in life, maybe they made money, maybe they had a lot of friends or had a lot of influences, but they never accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. Guess what? If they die never accepting Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity in hell. You say, "Pastor, don't bring us down in Christmas, man." Listen, I got to tell you the truth, though, because this is all about why Jesus came. Jesus is your only way out of hell. He is the only ticket. You don't have to buy it, but all you have to do is receive him. He's the only way. There's only one mediator. There's only one person that can represent both man and God. And his name is Jesus. Amen? So there's one mediator. Now let's talk about the other side. Let's flip the coin, all right? And let's talk about his deity, okay? How Jesus is divine, all right? Well, we know that the Bible calls him, he is the Lord, all right? We even have signs up here. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of Hosts. He's the King of Glory. All right? So we should exalt Jesus. You know, I like it. The minute you enter into this room, you can see what we're all about. You know, missions is God's heartbeat. Okay? He's referred to with divine names. We read in Isaiah 9 that he is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Those names speak of his divinity, his divine nature. All right? In other words, he is God. He is equal with God. But only God could create the perfect man that could contain both God and man. And why did God become a man? He became a man so that men could have a relationship with God. He came to be a man so that we could be sons and daughters of God. He's the only one who can repair the breach that was broken. And he did on the cross. On the cross, he paid our entire debt. Hallelujah. Once Jesus died on the cross, there's not one person on this earth that owes anything to God, but you've got to accept what he did. You must make an active choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now, how many have a mortgage? Or ever had a car loan? Or ever signed your name to an agreement? Okay? When you sign your name to an agreement, right, you're bound by the terms of that agreement, aren't you? Now, if someone accepts Jesus Christ and doesn't change the way they live, then I don't really think that they sign their name to the agreement. Because when you accept Christ, he changes your entire life. He changes the way you live. He changes your perspective. He changes how you treat people. He changes how you talk. He changes how you behave. God comes in to change and rearrange us. You know, he is the awesome creator of order. Hallelujah. So if you're going to accept Jesus Christ, you can't just accept him in name only. You've got to be committed. You've got to walk with him. You've got to obey his commands. Everybody say a command. Notice God didn't give us 10 suggestions. He didn't say, these are 10 suggestions if you feel like it. He said, these are 10 commands. Now, God is so awesome, he took the 10 and made it down to 2. Love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All your heart, all your soul. Your soul is your intellect, your mind, and your emotions and your will. And all your strength, which represents your body. You need to love God with your mind, you need to love God with your heart, and you need to love God with your body. And love your neighbor, how? As yourself. Well, I don't love myself. Well, if you come to Jesus, he'll help you love yourself. Because when you come to Jesus, he loves you so much. And he will shed his love abroad in your heart, and he'll help you love yourself so that you can love others like you love yourself. It's hard to love others if you don't love yourself. And Satan will lie to you. He'll get you to do things that discredit you. And then after Satan leads you down a dead-end road, he causes guilt, shame, and condemnation to come on you. And here's guilt, shame, and condemnation. They keep pounding on you. And he tries to get you away from the very answer that will save you. Satan tries to work very hard to try to get people to not come to church or even fellowship with believers. Who do you think's more into fellowship, God or Satan? How many think it's God? I mean, raise your hands. God is more into fellowship. Do you realize God craves a relationship? He created man because he wanted someone to pal around with. God took time out of the universe so that he could walk with man, so that he could talk with man. And he loved you so much that he became one of us. God didn't ask you to be part of his team until he came and was part of our team. That's awesome. That makes me love God more and more. Let's move on. You know, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we sang about it today. It says that Jesus was Hispanic. Called him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord himself, notice this, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. How many, say that, say God is with me. God is for me. I want to tell you something, folks. God's not against you. God's not waiting with a Louisville slugger to hit you on the head if you do something wrong. He doesn't play beat the gopher or beat the human in our case. He doesn't play that game. Because he loves you. Who else would go to such great lengths and die for us and take our punishment and take the abuse and the criticism and the ridicule on us so that we wouldn't have to? That's love. That's love. God loved us 100%. He's never decreased in his love for us. You could be the worst of people and God still loves you the same. He loves everybody the same. Why? Because God is love. God is love. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. Jeremiah said he's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's the Hebrew name, the Lord our righteousness. It's only through having a relationship with Jesus Christ that one can become righteous. And you know what? There's a lot of groups that promote self-righteousness. You can't be righteous on your own. I can't be righteous on my own. I need a Savior. I need to put my trust in Jesus Christ alone. Can you say amen? Psalms 110. You don't have to turn there, but you can put it up on the screen. Psalms 110 tells us that he is Lord. The Lord himself. Oh, that's Isaiah. Psalm 110, verses 1 through 7. Now, being that he is Lord, he gets to call the shots in your life. Amen? He gets to tell you what to do in life. He gets to tell you where to be in life. He will help you choose right in your main decisions. Okay? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David, I think, wrote this. And notice the capital Lord, that's the big Lord, that's talking about the Lord God. All right? And he's going to help you defeat your enemies. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him. Did you know that you can know him? Aren't you glad that we can know our Savior? Do you realize that every day you can have a conversation with the Creator? You can come boldly into his throne of grace. And you can talk with him. And he'll talk with you. He'll show you things to come. He'll bring you into all truth. And if you don't know what to do, he's given us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, doesn't that speak to you of someone that's got some clout? He's eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. He said, I am the life and the resurrection. Everywhere he goes, he creates life. He's a life giver. Without him, we wouldn't have life. Okay? He is our God and Savior. 1 John 5:25. Look at verse 25. Oh, that must be a typo. He's the Word made flesh. Now think about this now. Only God can take his word and turn it into flesh. How did you and I get created? Say, I am created. God formed you out of the clay, and he breathed his life into you, And when he breathed his life into you, you became a living soul. And you say, I look good. Some of you don't believe that, but you were created in his image and in his likeness. In other words, God had his word when he was forming you. You know how artists, they have, if they want to do a portrait, they'll make you sit there and you can't move, and they're painting you, you know, the portrait. Well, God's portrait was his word. And there he was looking at you and he was forming you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows exactly what he made you for. He created you. He was forming you after his likeness, in his image. You were created. And guess what? You were created also for his pleasure. And for thy pleasure, I was created. Say, I'm created for God's pleasure. Say, God takes pleasure in me. Say, God likes me. Say, God loves me. Say, God's forgiven me. He's done all that. Because he is the God-man. Only the God-man can forgive you of your sins, can make you holy, can pull you up out of the mire. Only the Son of God and the Son of Man can bring you from darkness to light, from the depth of despair to fullness of joy. Only the Son of Man and the Son of God can do these things. He's called the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. The first Adam lost. The second Adam won. The first Adam broke it. The second Adam fixed it. The first Adam lost it. The second Adam regained it back. The first Adam was natural. The second Adam was spiritual. Because he had the spirit without measure. And he says, the words that I speak are spirit and life. Wow. So where the second Adam messed up, the first Adam messed up, the second Adam cleaned up. He washed you. He took the miry stain of sin on your garments and he washed them in his crimson tide. He washed him in his blood. He made you white as snow. He wiped away the filth and the dirt and all the things associated with sin. He made you brand new. Behold, if you be in Christ, how do you get there? You get there by a choice. If you be in Christ. You know what? Some people don't want to stay in Christ. They leave. Did you know that you can go out the same door you came in? Why does the Bible say, if we could never lose our salvation, why did he put in repentance as the first message that Jesus spoke, that Peter spoke, and that John the Baptist spoke? If we didn't have to repent, then we could never lose it. But we could lose it, he put that option in there. Thank God for repentance. Thank God that his mercies are new every day. He and the Father are one. Jesus made this statement. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Pharisees were like, you're 33 years old and you're saying before Abraham was, you are? And they were like, I don't think so. That didn't make it not true, by the way, what the Pharisees said. So why did Jesus do all this? Why did the Son of God become man and walk this earth? There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And God wants everybody to hear the message that you need to accept his Son. He will not force his Son on you. He will not force his way on you. Why? Because he's not that type of person. You know, it takes a lot of faith on God's part to leave that particular choice up to us. God trusts that intelligent people will make the right choice because there aren't any other options on the table. When you choose God, you've got to choose his will. As a human being, Jesus was totally submitted and surrendered to the Father's will. He actually showed us how to live a victorious and successful life on this earth, and we can follow his pattern. Amen? I want to encourage you today. If you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I urge you today to ask him to come in. He comes by invitation. When I was 12 years old, I grew up a good Catholic boy. I went to Catholic church every week. I was an altar boy, but I didn't know God. You mean you went to church every week and didn't know God? That's right. There's a lot of people who go to churches every week, but yet, you know, I've talked to people. When we went out witnessing, I've talked to people who said they go to church, but they're not sure if they're going to heaven. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, what? My sister had gotten saved. And she kept asking me to go to church. And I thought church was boring. I'm sure that some of us had those same thoughts. And you get annoyed by those relatives that come. Well, you want to come to church with me today? No. Well, my sister would do that to me. She would say, you want to go to church with me today? And I would say, no. She would say, okay. Boy, if you really want to tick them off, just react sweet about it. Then next week, you want to go to church with me? Well, how long is the service? 2 hours. 2 hours for church? You've got to be kidding me. That's exactly how I reacted. Next week, you want to go to church with me? Yeah. What? I was looking, who said that? I was the only one there with my sister. I went to church. Oh, it was different. They did different things. I didn't fall asleep in that church. You know, it's different when things are alive and things are dead. There's a big difference. And that night, there was probably less than 10 people at Abundant Life Tabernacle on 5th Street, LaSalle, Illinois, with Pastor Lloyd Curry. He preached a message, and he said, is there anyone who would like to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? And you know how when you're not sure, you're looking at anybody, is anybody else raising their hand? No, that was my night. God had drawn me. My sister had prayed for me, obviously, because God touched my heart. And that night, I asked Jesus to come into my heart for the very first time. And when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, I literally felt something go, whoom, like that. And my hands were lifted up, and my hands began to shake, and I ended up on the floor laughing and crying at the same time. I'm 43 years old today. Today's not my birthday, but you know. So 31 years ago, I did what I'm asking you to do today. We're going to say a general prayer. But it's not general in the sense, if you've never done it and you decide that you want to believe it in your heart, then make it yours today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. We're going to say it all together. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, accepting Christ as your Savior is only the beginning. Then you got to live for Him. Then you got to walk with Him. Then you got to grow. You know, when a person accepts the Lord, they're like a baby. And the baby needs extra care, extra nurture. But as that baby grows, it can take on more things. God wants you to grow in His grace. He wants you to grow in the knowledge of God. So I want everybody, you can remain seated, but I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to see Jesus right before you. And I want you to, if you've never done this, I want you to make it, do it with all your gusto. Do it with all your heart. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you today. And I understand that I need a Savior. And Jesus is my Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the only way to heaven. Lord Jesus, I believe you're God's Son. I invite you to come into my heart right now in Jesus' name. Change my life. Do a work in me. Help me to love you with my whole being and to love others as myself. I surrender to you, Lord. No longer will I do my way, but I will follow your way in Jesus' name. And say that I turn my back on sin, on Satan, and on worldly ways. And I will follow Christ. I will take up my cross, and I will follow him alone. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is why God became a man. He came to seek and save that which was lost. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to get into the kingdom of God. You just have to believe and call upon his name. Amen? Well, I'm done. My part is done. I want to invite Les Patton to come up. And if the cast wants to get ready, I'll tell you what, I am so pleased for everyone who has participated. You know, they worked hard. The teenagers were the first ones at the church today. Amen?